Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club. People hate reading. This week, we're doing the movie Whiplash, made in 2014, and The Punisher, Season 1, Episode 7. This week, we have Jonathan Charney, James Stellings, and Ryan Preston. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to tell you, all good things do come to an end, and unfortunately, this is going to be the last month of Real Flicks Reviews. Hold your applause, please. There is good news, though. The Mad Trio will be back. Real Flicks Reviews might. We're going to be doing a new show sometime the beginning of next year. We haven't really set any dates, so you'll see the Mad Trio movie reviews just in a different format. We will promise that if there's an amazing movie that we do want to see, we will come out with a special episode of Real Flicks Reviews. Probably won't be on Star Wars, though, so don't hold your breath. So, with that being said...
You don't want them to kill themselves?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
Whiplash, 2014. A promising young drummer enrolls at a cutthroat music conservatory, where his dream of greatness are mentored by instructor who will stop at nothing to realize student's potential. And holy shit, J.K. Simmons plays a dick in this movie.
Conservatory. Can you say that?
No.
Okay.
Obviously, we've done this show for 200 and something episodes.
Oh, come on, Ryan, you were thinking it too.
Hey, I'm surprised he nailed J.K. Simmons. I'm leaving it alone.
See, obviously, you know, I've had people tell me I've got to be from the South because I can't enunciate.
See, you know what? I'm going to jump in on this one since both of you only saw clips. Yeah, I sold them out. You know,
wow.
I got to say, with these types of movies, I'm not really into band films or anything like that. So this one.
Bullshit.
Actually,
you love That Thing We Do. I remember you just raving about it.
I've never seen that movie.
He's lying, by the way.
No, I'm not. I don't even know who the hell's in it. Anyways, so going into this one already had like negative points according to me. And when
he's racist.
When I was done with it, this is a 4.5. And I don't say that lightly.
So this movie really got compared to like the music version of The Black Swan. That's all the reviews I read about it.
Nah. Black Swan sucked.
Oh, I haven't seen Black Swan. It's not really my type of movie, but I heard a lot of amazing things about this movie. The most amazing thing is I don't ever remember hearing about this when it came out.
Yeah, I didn't hear about it either. Well, Ryan?
I'll tell you what, I had heard about it just because I am so hesitant to say this shit after seeing this movie. and James will know why. I'm a drummer. And yes, I meant that as a question.
He's questioning his own ability.
I have never had, oh my God, I've never had an ounce of this dude's talent or drive.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to agree with me that quickly, James. Thank you. But no. James has seen me probably, maybe not at my technical best, but definitely at my fastest. Nowhere even close. To how quick this dude's hands move.
No,
you know?
Shit.
But I've had friends bring it up to me like, oh, dude, you got to see this movie. You got to see this movie. You got to see this movie. And I figured this was the good enough excuse to force myself to watch it. I couldn't fucking believe how good of a movie this was.
So I
like it was almost like jaw at the floor. Like, oh shit.
I've actually had the pleasure of at least part time, partly working with a professional studio grade / touring drummer, so I think that the level that guy was at, I can totally believe how fast he was, because this particular guy I'm talking about was an amazing drummer. I mean, it was almost sad. How amazing, how poorly everybody else was compared to him.
I've definitely seen amazing drummers, but let me tell you from personal experience, there is a giant chasm. Okay, from like I'm actually a pretty decent drummer, you know.
So he's adequate.
Like all said and done, I can definitely hold a beat. I can play
semi
complicated things. I cannot do 400 times.
You're better off getting an old 808.
I'm telling you, the amount of people that are where I'm at to where that kid and that level is at, it goes from like, you know, probably hundreds of thousands to like 20, 30, 50.
Yeah.
You know, like not very many people are on that kind of level. Maybe not. Maybe more.
Well,
so
the funniest thing is I doubt there's even touring musicians that may be at that level. And before everybody like yells at me, if you look at some of the musicians, especially drummers throughout the ages, you know, not everybody's like a Tommy Lee or other type of drummers. So I do think,
and not everything is just about speed. What jazz does in general is it kind of takes that speed, mixes it with this like technical masterpiece, yeah, and makes you do both of these things at once. I mean, yes, there's some amazing drummers out there. I'm sure we get a list of a thousand, but it's just to get to that level requires, I mean, just so much more dedication. So I recognize right off the bat, like, oh shit, this is not easy.
So there is something that I didn't know. I'm a huge jazz fan, and I've never really looked at far as the technical aspects about it. I saw an interview on Jimmy Fallon with this guy, and he was talking about, you know, he's used to a normal drumming where you just hold a stick standard. And he was saying the problem with jazz drumming is you don't hold it normal as you would doing everything else. So he said there's so much more technical difference between, you know, being like a rock and roll drummer and a jazz drummer. Yeah. So that was
right. It's the difference. It's called a match is when you hold it, you know, like a rock and roll drummer. Traditional is, you know, well, at least on a kit, traditional is, you know, laid across the palm of your hand, essentially between your, you know, middle and ring finger.
Yeah.
So in that final scene where he's doing Whiplash by himself and he's leading the band, there's a section where they cut away from Miles Teller and they just focused in on the drums and the sticks moving. And I was looking at that and just the speed that he's hitting, how accurate and on time and everything is on it. I was sitting there and I'm like, I wonder who they picked to be doing that scene.
It was him.
It was actually Miles Teller.
Yeah.
That's the thing that just blew me away.
He's a self-taught drummer.
Yeah, he is. And he's amazing, actually. I've surprised that he's actually doing this instead of actually playing music.
So that was the other part of the interview. He talked about growing up, he's always played instruments. He said before this, he was playing piano and he just wanted a drum kit. And he said he didn't take any lessons. He just picked it up.
Yeah.
Like, which is amazing to me.
Now, the other thing I wanted to pick up on this movie, because one of the things that I think a lot of people are going to think is an exaggeration is how J.K. Simmons actually put this together as playing this guy Teller. There are people like that, people.
I mean,
they actually do live in the entertainment and the upper class hospitality industries where they're like that. They want to push you to the next level. They want to do that. I've had chefs in my face screaming, cussing me out, throwing tantrums and throwing shit. They'll get physical with you, too. It happens. So
sure,
I think,
yeah. I'll tell you what my...
Go on.
Oh no! I was gonna say my favorite scene was the am I dragging or am I rushing?
Yeah,
I mean he's slapping him in the face off tempo on the four and just the intensity of that was just unbelievable.
I love the scene where he tackles J.K. Simmons.
He actually broke some ribs.
Yeah,
in real life.
Yeah. You realize, yeah, J.K. Simmons actually got two broken ribs from that scene. And
why didn't they bring
continued?
They should have brought a wrestler on board. Would have told him how to take that.
I'm actually surprised to hear that he was injured. I mean, he looks like he spent his life in the weight room before this movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's
yeah. J.K. Simmons was jacked.
I think he's even more jacked for was it Spider-Man? He played another role recently where there was taking an Instagram photo of him. He was for his age. He's huge.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah,
the relationship they had was remarkable. I mean, I'm such a fan of this freaking movie, man. Holy shit.
See, I've never had a relationship that with a teacher where I hated him and loved him. And I just, it was a really cool relationship. And this movie, I think only had a $3 million budget. Like
yeah,
$3
and
million,
they shot it, it was shot in 19 days.
Damn, that was fast.
And it was
amazing.
Shot, edited, and cut for the Sundance Film Awards within 10 weeks.
So that's why I didn't hear about that. I don't generally follow Sundance.
Let me bring up another point that I want to make sure everyone is aware is not an exaggeration. His hands bleeding all over that kit.
Oh yeah, that was real too. He got the calluses.
Yeah,
I'm
sure it was real because if you're telling me they shot that shit in 19 days, I'll bet you the look on his face and the sweat porn. I mean, you didn't have to do any makeup for that movie.
Yeah, the final song was 9 minutes long. He drummed for 9 minutes complete. At that speed, and they cut it down for the film for 5 minutes, but it was a 9-minute thing. That's insane.
See,
that's unbelievable.
I love movies about bands when you actually get to see the people actually doing it.
Yeah, I literally, when I saw that final section, I was sitting there and I'm like, no, that actor cannot be playing that fast. I wasn't completely believing that he actually did that.
Initially, I was, but before I found out that was him playing also, initially, before even starting it, I was like, okay, well, the only standard I really have for this movie is somebody better actually be playing those drums.
Yeah.
Because in a movie, if you know, most of the time when you see a band, the guy is not hitting the drums in time with what's going on. And it's, you know, anybody who's a musician and watches a musician on TV fake something, it's just immediately noticeable. So that was the only real standard. And especially with drums, when it's a drum-centric movie, it's almost impossible to fake it. But then he's playing stuff that I'm just like, no way. I mean, either this actor is that good, or they've done some remarkable CGI and timing and cut this thing. And like, I was thinking like, okay, this must have been like a 3-month shoot and you're filming in like 10 second increments, you know, but then they landed these long shots on this kid. And I'm just like, no, there's no way to fake that.
Yeah.
There's no way to do that.
I do wonder how long it took the production to find him, because you're looking for a very odd skill set. I'm looking for a really good actor who has the ability of at least a professional drummer.
I don't know. I looked up this director, and he wrote the movie as a short in 2013, and then put this film, the full film, out the next year. So he found the guy somewhere there, and I mean, I've got like over 20 years experience as a sound man. I've worked with drummers. They're a pain in the ass to control.
But
to see this type of thing where you have a drummer that, I mean, I don't think people out there really understand that drummers are human metronomes. They're human musical metronomes. Yeah. They keep time and they make music with the cymbals and the toms and everything, but the snare, the kick, that is keeping time, people. So they're doing that and then making all these other shit around it. And I mean, just it's amazing to see something like this where you have a full band being conducted with the speeds that he was pushing the drummers to control.
By the way, if you guys want to see what a lot of people call one of the best drummers of all time, look up a gentleman by the name of Buddy Rich.
He was referenced in the movie.
Yeah.
He, damn. Just watch him. I won't spoil anything, but it's art in motion.
Won't spoil anything.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to see
what he's going to have to do. Like, put up YouTube clips of it.
Yeah, I don't want people to see
it because he's going to spoil it. Go ahead and spoil it, John.
Well, I mean, there's like
spoiler alert, everybody.
Well, a high level musician. You know, it's hard to describe, and describing so, I think, is not only is
the detriment to the person.
And somebody of that quality, you can't, you know, somebody like him does not come along all that often. I'd say the same thing about the Beatles.
Let me put it this way. The recognition as a drummer is a very rare thing. You know, people can definitely count on one hand the amount of drummers that they're aware of. I don't even think they'd need the whole hand. I mean, drummers are not typically famous for, like James said, they're typically there to keep time, not to show off. Now, a drummer by nature is a show-off artist. and he's looking for any excuse to hit things like a monkey with his sticks.
Yeah. By the way, the drummer's so like a wind-up monkey.
Finding a disciplined, finding a disciplined drummer. I know, I love that reference too. Is a really, really difficult thing. You know, they're constantly just kind of in their own little head, in their own little world, riffing on dumb shit. Sorry about that, by the way.
The drummers are always, like, band-wise, they're always my favorite people to watch. Just because you can tell if the band's having fun or not solely based on the drummer. Because you can tell if the drummer misses something, you can tell, like, if he fucks up the rest of the band. So I've always enjoyed
The amount of times the pianist used to look at me kind of out of the side of her eye and just kind of like move her hand from high to low, like slow the fuck down, dude.
So, unfortunately, as James narked us out, we didn't get to see a chance to see it. I have an excuse. I have a very young kid, and let's just say watching a movie and trying to corral a child is damn near impossible. And a salute to those who somehow have the ability to do that.
You just have him sit on your lap while J.K. Simmons is sitting there cussing people out and slapping them.
Yeah, just what I want is him to start repeating some of that language.
Did I say, play it like a wind-up monkey?
So Ryan's definitely going to see it. It's on my list of movies to see, and at this point, that list is getting...
Yeah, Ryan's probably going to watch this right after we finish.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you can
basically.
You can catch us on for now on Facebook.com/RealFlixReviews and iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. So, this week's TV show is The Punisher, Season 1, Episode 7. James saw it, he liked it, and so we're going to...
We're going to what?
I was going to switch to movie news just to screw with you, but go ahead.
You can switch to movie news. I don't care. If you haven't seen The Punisher, watch it.
I liked it. It was good. Watch The Punisher.
Yeah. That's all we really have to say. I mean, I picked this one just because there was some weird shit going on, but that's about it.
So I am happy. So I looked into it a little bit. I'm happy that the devil isn't in it?
The devil?
Daredevil?
Daredevil. Thank you. I'm really tired. I'm happy Daredevil's not in it.
Why?
I'll tell you what, I was actually kind of surprised, but I was happy with that also.
Are you looking
for crossovers? Are you wanting crossovers? I mean,
not right away, because
that's kind of where I was going with it, yeah.
Because my thought is you got to have this character stand alone. Granted, he can, but there's been so many bad Punisher movies that I wanted to see.
Wait, hold on. Let's back that up. By the way you phrased that, is there a good Punisher movie?
No.
Okay.
I like one of the bad Punisher movies, but it is not a good movie. And Dolphy, I'm talking to you. Yeah. So I really thought the only way this is going to succeed at all is have them stand by itself. And I've heard nothing but rave reviews about this from everybody I know who's seen it. And I was just afraid if you had the Daredevil in it, you could make it either campy or it'd become more about the devil. And I really wanted to have it more about...
I'm just glad that he wasn't part of Marvel's Defenders, because that shit sucked.
Was he ever?
No, but I'm just glad that he didn't try to throw him in that.
That's the thing, is mostly the Punisher is a very standalone character, and I'm pretty much on the same boat as John. It just in as much as I figured it was only going to go one of two ways. Either you bring Daredevil in for like a scene where he's like, what, give him a thumbs up and hey, good job, or hey, calm down, and it's a throwaway scene, or he's in the entire show. And I didn't want him to be in the entire show. I wanted it to be Frank Castle's story, which they were absolutely brilliant about.
So what I was hoping for, because I haven't seen any of it, I'm hoping for like the end, you see the outline of Daredevil, that's it. Like right as a closing credit hit, and then that's what I wanted more than anything. I don't want to see his face. I don't want to hear him talk. I want to see an outline, and I would be happy.
As far as I'm concerned, they already did the crossover with Daredevil.
Oh, there'll be more.
No.
Yeah.
They already did it.
No, there'll be more.
No, they already did it.
That's cute. But they'll do it again.
Are they going to do Frankencastle?
Maybe.
Which is a comic book, if you people don't know.
The only thing, will it be on Netflix?
I hope so. Screw you, Disney.
Yeah, well, that's obviously still kind of remains to be seen with the the Disney Marvel merger.
With the fascist.
Well, the question is really is how much is Netflix fronting for this? Because if Netflix is paying for it, and Disney is just the rights holder, then that would be a little bit more difficult.
They probably are. Yeah, I would imagine that they're just licensing the characters. Like, hey, listen, we're going to have exclusive rights to these particular characters. You guys can fuck off with your other things.
See, that's the question. I would be surprised because rumor has it Disney is going to start spending a lot of money in trying to get Marvel's rights back because Marvel sold a lot of their rights. So the question
I don't understand why
Marvel was failing.
I know, but you got that much money going to a bunch of different. Anyway,
No. But before this, Marvel was failing, like belly up. How do you think Disney bought them?
Rape.
It is the mouse,
and they are fascist.
So on a little bit of TV news, movie news, I did hear something that has me very intrigued. Tarantino is going to be involved in Star Trek. Somehow, I guess he sold this Paramount and an idea, and I guess Paramount is going a bunch of writers and putting a bunch of people in a room to see Tarantino's idea. That has me curious. Star Trek is, a violent is not Tarantino's level of violence, so I'm really curious to see if, A, they make the Star Trek universe Tarantino violent, or if Tarantino can control his level of bloodshed.
They absolutely won't make it Tarantino violent. It doesn't need to be, but we all know that Tarantino as a fan is the best Tarantino there is.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, like him as a fan of a particular genre or series or something, that's going to be him at his best when he's, because he knows what works for those things.
He's basically a movie savant.
Basically, yeah.
Because I consider myself a movie geek, but if you listen to any of the interviews, the guy's bringing out references that are not only obscure, but they're old.
He is an absolute encyclopedia. But he does things justice. When he does a kung fu movie, he nails it. When he does the Western, he nails it. When he does a World War II, it's like, holy shit, the best World War II movie ever. You know, if he wants to do Star Trek or he has a particular idea that he's going to produce, because, I mean, you know, Tarantino's produced a lot of things that he hasn't been directly involved in as a director writer.
I will say, though, that everything Tarantino's involved in, he's still, pardon the expression, still able to put his stank on it. So you can tell that his flair is involved in it, but it's always like varying degrees of like a Tarantino movie. Like if you look at Reservoir Dogs and Glorious Bastards, full-fledged Tarantino. But if you see like Sin City where he is involved in, you can still see his influence in there.
Well, but even in the stuff that he's produced with like Rodriguez, I mean, it's just things that people that he respects, you know, and says like, hey, listen, I'm kind of signing off on this being an amazing idea, kind of giving a stamp of approval to the general public, if you will. You know?
Well, I mean, if you look at Four Rooms, which four different stories by four different directors, you can definitely tell which one was Tarantino's, not only because he was in it. But because of what it was and how much dialogue and the dialogue motivated scene.
To be fair,
he is the only person that would ever hire himself as an actor.
Yes.
True.
Except for the person in Golden Girls.
I mean, why does he have to be Mr. Brown? I mean, that's like Mr. Shit. Why does he get to be Mr. White? Can't it be Mr. Black? Or Mr. Purple? I'll be okay being Mr. Purple.
I'm going to steal that box set, by the way, from you at some point. No, you're not. He is a Mr. Pink box set I've wanted forever because I can't find one. The Gambit movie looks to be starting production in early 2018. This is either going to suck out loud or be marginal at best. I have not been too happy with most X-Men movies, the last trilogy.
I have not been happy with any of the tries at Gambit so far.
There's only been one try.
I don't know if it really deserves its own movie.
The True. Only one I think of what James has been saying all these years, it was the thieves and the assassins. That's the only story that I know of Gambit that I actually think that would be right, would be good. The only question is, will they be able to give it the atmosphere and the actual story to not make it, X-Men Origins Wolverine? Because that movie just sucked.
Well, one would hope they've learned their lessons a little bit.
Okay, so
I doubt
you guys remember the pick your own story teen books that came out mid-90s or early 90s, late 80s, I think.
The Goosebumps one?
Oh, well, it's the ones that are like pick your own story.
Yeah, remember them. And then somehow I just
shrank. Netflix has started doing that with kids shows. There's a few different kids shows that they have like a little thing and you can actually take the remote and pick, you know, which one you want to go with.
Will they have you like fast forward for 5 minutes or?
No, it just kind of like skips you around a little bit. Anyways,
interesting.
They're debating and they're teasing doing it for adult shows. Why? I don't give a crap.
But no, here's the thing. Can it be like the Final Destination where allegedly you can choose if people die? I'll totally do that just as long as you have the actor I really don't like.
I was literally imagining the 9-year-old James sitting there wondering where the option to kill everybody in the show is.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to ask his mom about that.
In those books, I just read it straight through. I didn't give a shit. I just read that.
So it's like
front to end. I didn't care.
So it's like watching the movie Clue.
Basically. But so, I'm not interested in doing that to a show.
Or reading a Tarantino movie.
I would be down to see how it's done. I don't know if I'd be interested in it, but on the technical level, I'm curious. And kind of a sad news, Gomer Pyle died at 87 years old.
Fantastic
singer. I mean, he's got a name.
Amazing singer, guys. If
I know he has a real name.
Jim Neighbors.
Thank you. I was just Jim about Neighbors. To say John Neighbors.
Just, his name.
I was just going to say that. I was going to tell them to Google Jim Neighbors to listen to him sing.
I'm really
just
bummed.
Just saying, Gomer Pyle died. That's fucking terrible.
In all honesty, more people know him as Gomer Pyle than they do his actual name.
True.
So saying,
just saying, you could have said, hey, maybe, Jim Neighbors died. You might know him as Gomer Pyle.
This is true, but I didn't have his name in front of me. I had Gomer Pyle because apparently all the news stories didn't put his real name on it.
That was the thing that kind of pissed me off. The headline wasn't Jim Neighbors dies; it was Gomer Pyle.
Yeah, and I think I saw one that said Shazam, Gomer Pyle died. It's like,
oh,
dude,
shit. Really,
dude? What the hell?
God.
So I grew up at hopefully like anybody in our age watching reruns of the Andy Griffith Show. So I was really bummed that he died. This is one of the few actors that I've never heard anything bad at all. Which apparently in Hollywood is very rare, especially if, you pay attention to the Weinstein guy.
So would you guys listen to Hugh Jackman?
It happened back in the day. Now they just film everything.
True.
Would you guys actually listen to a Hugh Jackman as Wolverine podcast?
Is it him doing the podcast as Wolverine? I would
I doubt that it's actually Hugh Jackman, but Marvel is launching a Wolverine podcast next year.
So here's kind of my thought about it. If it's in character, because I would totally listen to somebody doing Wolverine is and like talking about modern day stuff would be hilarious, especially if it came to like politics. Like,
well, I'll tell you what, I don't know what direction they're planning on going with this, but I've on a couple of occasions seen some podcasts come out where it's actually like old school radio theater.
I would love that where
it's Foley art and sound effects. Well, obviously that's Foley art. all the little things that used to be in the old school, radio theater. If they did something like that in a comic book range, and not like a book on tape, like complete with the footsteps and the breathing of the characters and all of that and the different characters.
So
that could be interesting.
Well, is the guy, since I'm...
I could totally be into that.
Since I'm a huge fan of old-time radio, I've been listening to it for decades.
I'm trying to find the story. I lost
I would love it.
I used to love all the old Ray Bradbury shit when I was a kid.
Oh.
Because there's amazing shows like the, I've talked about Dragnet, the radio show. There's X Minus One. There's Fibber McGee and Molly. There's an amazing amount of old content out there. And if you take a look, the difference between, like Ryan said, an audiobook and old-time radio is you hear footsteps, doors shutting. It pretty much, matter of fact, the Dragnet was actually a simulcast for a period of time, I don't know the length, between being actually live action and audio. It was literally the same thing, but one actually had video attached.
And it's a really cool medium that people have sort of forgotten about, which I hope, you know, since podcasts have kind of come back.
Well, that's kind of what
start taking this new media. Well, you know, not necessarily the old stories, but these new good ones, and you know, do them like that.
And there's just a little bit of a sidebar. If you ever watched the 1960s version of Dragnet, most of the side characters are actually old time radio actors. And I heard the difference between actors and old time radio actors is apparently most of the old time radio actors were able to read the script once and just repeat. I thought that was amazing.
So this is actually what they're actually quoted as, first ever scripted podcast. So it does kind of sound like it's going to be some type of storyline-based podcast.
So here's the thing I have with it.
Well, that's really good, because if it was the, hey, we're talking Wolverine, like fucking Chris Hardwick style, you know, the talking everything nowadays. Like, man, do we really need one dedicated to Wolverine?
So here's the issue.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Here's the issue I have. There's already scripted. I want to know exactly what they made scripted, because there's already podcasts that are stories. Are you talking about full, like we were talking about, like old-time radio, or it's just stories? Because just by saying scripted, I call bullshit, because there's already scripted podcasts. So,
well, I'm thinking,
I think they're actually doing what I was kind of describing.
Yeah, I would love it. I'd actually love if they did a half hour story every week. I would subscribe right now. Give me the fucking button.
That's what I'm thinking it's going to
be. Yeah, I'm totally in. That sounds like a great idea.
But on the other hand, there's two questions that come in mind. What's the audience they're aiming for? Are they aiming for kids? You know, like the 30 to something age, like adults? Because if it's for kids, well, it'll be entertaining. I don't know if I like it. If it's more like the Marvel movies, there's a better chance I think it'll quality versus, hey, Wolverine, what are we going to do today? I don't know, you know, type of thing.
Right. No, I mean, I think they're definitely going with the latter.
I think they're
why would you limit yourself to kids?
I don't know. I don't know, because it's Marvel, and I think Marvel has to toe a line, which I think Deadpool kind of way stepped over.
No, they don't. No, they've gotten rid of doing a line.
Now
it's about money.
Well, I'm happy. I'm actually happy with that. Because as a parent, I actually know what the movies are about. Unlike the guy who took a 6-year-old to Deadpool.
What's wrong with Deadpool?
If you took your 6-year-old to Deadpool, you're an idiot.
And no, he's trying to create a hit girl, man.
or permanently scar his child.
Or do exactly what you're doing, and I respect you.
So next week is kind of the bonanza, the end of Real Flix Reviews for now. We've decided, no format. We're literally just going to do whatever we want. So we picked a movie that was in theaters. It's no longer in theaters for probably a year. We're going to pick the latest Kingsman movie. Was it Kingsman, the Golden Circle or something like that? Golden Circle, correct. Golden Watch, Golden Shower. It's one of those. Do you have a TV show?
Yes. The Mist, and we're doing episode 7 again. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching. As always, there's Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Ryan Black Glove Preston, and as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.